Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
Cindy Burgess Gerson, what an amazing person.
Just saying. Okay.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Jason Andrews, the king of the upside-down Twitter pick. And Christy Dougherty, the OG Prime Supreme.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Happens.
Happens. Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from bsideblog.com and the Banter Blender podcast. Joining me, as usual, on this very exciting week is Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com and the Rose Pricks Bachelor podcast. What is up, Ronnie?
Well, hello, Ben.
Isn't it such an exciting week, as I previously said, like 20 seconds ago?
What an amazing, exhausting, joyful week, Ben.
So much joy. So much joy. It's Tuesday. Tomorrow we're doing our two live shows in Chicago, which is going to be amazing and so exciting. I'm like really excited to meet some of our Chicago listeners.
Oh, so excited.
I'm really, really excited. I want to get a hot dog and some deep dish pizza and, I don't know, maybe go on an architectural tour of the Chicago River or whatever that river is called.
Make your list. Because you know that, and this time I'll know, the day after we're hanging out, my friend Aileen will be with us, and she's like the picture queen of the world. She will take 10 pictures of us in different lighting. You know, she's obsessed. So we're going to have a fun bonding time together as well as with all of you guys.
The funny thing is that mentally in my head, I said, okay, on Thursday after the show's done, I'm going to a coffee shop and I'm working on my writing all day. So it's kind of funny that, like, Ben, this time I'm clearing the day to hang out. I'll hang out.
You're hanging out.
I'm hanging
out.
Last
time was my fault.
We have to.
Yeah, we're going to hang out. But you don't really feel it till you're there, right? Like right now I'm in my kitchen. I feel gross. Like, you don't feel that energy until it's around you.
Have you been to Chicago before? I don't know if I've asked you this.
When I went to New York on my 18th birthday on the bus, that was 3 days. And we stopped in Chicago, and I looked around downtown for an hour.
Wow.
So that's it.
Well, now I'm actually upset, because if I had realized this, those tours on the boat, like the river tours where you go on a boat and you look at the buildings, those are great fun, and you have to book them way ahead of time, so we may not be able to do that, which is too bad. But we'll
I haven't
do something
even
else.
Done stuff in LA. Like, I didn't do anything living in New York. I never saw anything, you know, unless I passed it in a cab. I don't care about that stuff. I just want to like hang out and laugh a lot. And the deep dish pizza you just said, that got me excited.
Yeah,
like
we'll do that. We'll recreate the opening credits of Perfect Strangers.
Yes, please.
And you know, all that fun stuff. So that's going to be very exciting. Actually, what's also even more exciting, well, not even more exciting, because Chicago is super exciting, but probably on the same level, same tier of excitement, is that yesterday we announced that we are finally coming to the Bay Area. We are putting on a show on November 4th at Social Hall, San Francisco. Tickets go on sale this Friday. We will have the link up on all our social media, or you could just come to our website, watchwhatcrappens.com. There'll be a link there. Everyone, the tickets go on sale at 10 a.m. Pacific. If you want to go, don't slack. Our first Chicago show sold out in 3 hours, and the second one a day later. So this is your warning. You have 4 days left to, like, make your schedule work for it.
It feels so weird doing so many shows.
Yeah, it's really weird. It's really
and amazing.
Weird. It's really weird, and we have a few other things that we're talking to some other places. So they're going to keep coming, And we're really enjoying it, and we're hoping that it's like so awesome to meet everyone in these cities, and we're hoping that everyone's enjoying them too. So there's that. But if you thought the announcements were over, you are sadly mistaken, because the next thing we have to announce or remind you guys about that we announced yesterday is that we are doing an absolutely amazing giveaway. We are giving away a copy of Caroline Fleming's new cookbook, which is coming out next week, Cook Yourself Happy, The Danish Way. If you want a free cookbook from Caroline Fleming, I mean, from her publishers, not directly from her, but if you want to win your own Danish cookbook from the dear Caroline Fleming, all you have to do is you have to make sure you follow us on Instagram, and you have to post a photo recreating the magic of Caroline Fleming. Do your own Caroline Fleming Instagram photo, and make sure to hashtag it, hashtag crappensflem, and also hashtag cook yourself happy. Okay?
Yeah, we know that takes a lot of your hashtag space, but Instagram doesn't count the numbers, okay? So stop freaking out.
Yeah, exactly. We need the hashtags to be able to track who's in the contest. So everyone do that, and then we'll go through the finalists on the air.
And also remember, part of it is the wonderful picture you're going to take, but a lot of the best of Fleming is hashtags, okay?
Yeah.
I want that whole recipe book to be written in her hashtags, like hashtag watermelon, hashtag one half cup.
Well, you know, it's funny. I do have a link to one of her recipes. Do you want me to read some of it to you?
Could you text it over, please? Okay. That would be great.
I'm gonna text it over right now.
So excited.
Yeah, no, it's
we haven't talked Fleming in a while.
I know. I mean, how about this? I'm texting you the link, and at the end of the show, we'll do some Clear the Phlegm, and we'll go through this recipe. How's that sound?
Yeah, because this is the finale of Auckland, and it turns out the forever finale of Auckland.
The forever finale. We're talking Auckland today on Tuesday because our recording schedule is all messed up with the Chicago show. But yeah, this is it. This is the last ever episode of Real Housewives of Auckland.
Yes, and everybody was just getting warmed up. They're like, let's find a different room to fight in now. You know, like they're starting to feel it. Like we've been in this room too long. Let's go to this room and continue in front of a bookshelf.
Yeah. Yeah. They're really getting there. And stupid Juliet had to hurl the N-word, of all things, the N-word, and get the show canceled.
Yeah, but why did they only cancel it when it was airing in America? Do you think it's because the audiences here got that mad?
I don't know. Maybe if the American ratings were really high, they would have maybe brought it back. But maybe the American audiences, the ratings were just not good enough here, not good enough to justify continuing on with the show where the N-word.
Well, maybe if they stopped. Yeah, maybe if they stopped treating it like it was the Muppet Babies on a Saturday morning. I mean, come on.
Thank you. I mean, is it so hard for Bravo to put this on their primetime lineup? Like, I think we can survive without, with Cyrus versus Cyrus for 1 week. Okay, let's put New Zealand in primetime.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, give it a chance.
Give it a chance. All we're saying is give Auckland a chance.
Give love a chance, guys. Hashtag Brussels sprout. Hashtag peaceful.
Hashtag pink Himalayan peacefulness.
Hashtag using the last of my GarageBand loops for this finale episode of Auckland. I was like, you guys mix the violin plucking GarageBand loop with the, there were so many mixed in.
I noticed that. I made a note about that too. They were like, we bought the royalties for all these songs, so we're going to put them all in this episode, even within the same 10 seconds. Like, we are going to go back and forth between songs. We don't care.
Yeah, but it's like the free shit from GarageBand that comes with the GarageBand, you know? They're just like, this time we're making 8 tricks.
You mean the tracks that we use to create Tulu for you, now available on iTunes?
And everything else we do, that's how I recognize them. You know, I'm like, oh, okay, so they took 2 of the little MIDI dots out of the free violin pluck. All right, that shows some effort.
Hey, is that champagne pop flute? I hear it. I recognize it.
They mixed it with Mandarin Summer, so I guess that was bold.
So this episode, this series finale, opens up sort of with this great image of Gilda rolling up to Michelle's estate in her Rolls Royce, and there's a chicken in the way, and Gilda just stops the car and honks at the chicken, and then just, like, extends her hand out the window. It's like, come on, chicken.
What's taking you're so long? You're in the street.
Word in the street. You're in the street, chicken.
Word in the street is that you're in the street.
Why did the chicken cross the road? Why do you think, why the fuck should I care? You're stupid chicken.
Stupid chicken is not even crossing road. That's why. Standing in front of car.
Aren't you supposed to be crossing road? Why are you standing in driveway? You're supposed to cross a road.
I stopped even trying to do a Gilda because yours is so good that I was like, I'll rip his off.
But I based mine off of yours. Are you crazy? I based mine off of yours.
How?
I learned it by watching you.
I learned it by watching you, chicken, eh?
I learned it by watching a stupid chicken. You're a good girl.
So we get some really good narration because it's a finale. So everything is narrated. She's like, there was chicken in front of my car while I was on
Rolls Royce.
The chicken's like, I'm in front of a Rolls Royce right now. A lady just honked at me.
I thought, hey, rude.
Michelle invited me to find out exactly what went down at book signing, okay? Huh?
To be fair, Gilda, technically she said, Michelle has invited me to her house for a catch-up. I was like, she's invited you for catch-up?
Michelle would. You know she don't cook.
Yeah, she's like, I made you ketchup and mustard.
It's like the new school system food ratings. Like, ketchup is a vegetable, okay?
Yeah. Have you noticed, by the way, that every single episode begins with someone rolling up to Michelle's house? It's always the same thing. Whether it's Doggy Daycare or Gilda or Louise, someone's always showing up at Michelle's house to start the episode.
It's probably the closest to the office.
Yeah. You're like, we can send a drone over there.
Yeah, because these shows, they live everywhere. Yeah. You know, people get mad on Texas, the Dallas one. But Plano is far, you know? Like, making jokes about Plano, it's not the neighborhood over, okay? It's a long ride over. So they're just like, you know, she lives by a lunch spot. Let's just go over to Michelle's.
Yeah, yeah. It's, yeah. Because every episode, it's always like you see some solitary car driving through the countryside, and Michelle's always proudly saying, I invited Gilda over because I wanted her to look at a stone in my driveway.
I'm feeling pissed, frankly. I'm sick of all the drama. Like, you are not.
Please, Michelle. You love the drama.
Yeah, and so do we.
Yeah.
So she's telling the story. She's like, I told her the story that while Mark was giving his wonderful bubbly speech, Angela comes straight through the middle. I'm like, she saw that part. Like, you don't need to tell her that part.
And it was, I still stand by my defense of that moment, which was that it was no big deal. Gilda finished speaking and she walked in, and then someone else got on the mic. It was just that. I mean, she shouldn't have shown up late, but Michelle also needs to just relax. It's like, it was not like Angela walked in and was like, hi everyone, I'm finally here, being real. She just literally walked in and kept on walking by. It was not like a big showy thing.
Yeah, but she did bring flowers that were bigger than the ones that Gilda gave her. Like,
that's true.
You know, it's all a competition.
Yeah.
And they're right, but I like how Gilda reacts, because she's like, my guests were like, what? She's huge. She is huge, you know. She has a big impact, huh?
I like when Gilda goes, how dare did she? She's Yoda.
2 hours late and then in the middle, fuck you. Whatever, she goes, whatever happened to you at your book launch, you deserve it.
Nothing happened. I think that's the problem. And so then they start reading from this book, which looks, you can sort of see in this shot how low rent Angela's book is. You know, at the book launch, we could already tell it was low rent, like a low rent paperback. But here, there was something you could really tell. It was some sort of, she went to Kinko's or something to get this.
It was like the same online self-publishing thing that Nobleman uses. It's like this huge magazine.
It's like Vistaprint or something. Yeah. So Gilda's reading through, like, what apparently this book is just nothing but empty platitudes or stupid.
Well,
like,
we heard
cliches.
Her speech. She's like, let me read from a bit of the book. Be happy. Smile. Don't be sad. Yeah. Move your legs.
So when Gilda's reading it, she's like totally unenthused. She's like, enjoy little things, play your favorite song, pick some fresh flowers, and take a hot bath. What if you don't have a bath? You can't be real?
It's not even a hot bath. That's how lame this book is. It's like, have bath.
Yeah.
She's like, what is this?
Buy a towel.
So next, Julia and Angela go over to Taya Leone's store, which I guess she owns when she's not filming that Secretary of State show.
Yeah, this place, the way Angela described, she goes, I think it was called like Bordeaux, something of Bordeaux, but she goes, today we're going to go antiquing in Bordeaux de Bordeaux de Papara. I was like, what?
Yeah. Like, is that the famous street that Louise lives on?
Parapar Drive.
She lives on the most populous street in Auckland. It's like some weird religion to yell to God. Wait.
So it's like such a special place that you automatically speak in tongues just in describing it.
Exactly. Could you write this down? So Angela's like, we're in a stall because we've been invited to a birthday party, Michelle's birthday party. Do I want to go after how she treated me when she yelled at me for walking? It's like, okay, book on tape, get to it.
Yeah. And notice that they always make a big deal about being invited somewhere. They're always like, Anne invited me to go feed cats with her. And it's like, Michelle invited me to go to the store to look at chairs with her. Julia invited me to go antiquing. It's like, yes, you just say you're going antiquing. Like, it's like we're this excessive spotlight on invitations is getting old. Luckily, it's the end of the show.
It's like when you make a to-do list and you're like, wake up. Then 9 o'clock, take a shower. It's like, that's not a to-do list, okay? That's just regular life. Oh, I've been invited. I was invited to check out when I went to the grocery store. No, you weren't.
I was invited to pay with either Visa, MasterCard, or PayPal.
I sure trumped them when I brought up Apple Pay.
Now, here's a question. So, Michelle and Julia, they're trying to buy birthday gifts for Michelle's birthday. And they go to an antique shop. Already, I don't know about you, but I already picked up a passive-aggressive vibe about this because Michelle's house is famously very modern and contemporary. There's no room for antiques in it. So they're already buying her something totally inappropriate for her home.
Yeah, but I think it's just wherever they can film because no one in Auckland wants them. Taya Leone knows they aren't going to spend money. She's like, hello, poor people pretending to know what antiques are. What do you want?
Yeah, she tries to scare them off with a $20,000 Louis Vuitton hat box from, 1845.
Yeah, and that's not even the real price. Yeah, she's just making it up. She's like, it's 28 grand, and she goes, yeah.
It was from Etsy. She just wants to get these women out of the store. And then Angela's like, Julie and I found these beautiful candelabras from the 17th century.
Yeah. It was like that metal distress shit from Hobby Lobby.
They're disgusting.
Yeah. They're like, just put those in a bag. We can get those for free. How much do we get to spend in this store for showing your sign at the beginning of the scene, Taya?
Also, we don't really... If they pick up two candelabras and the woman in the store says, oh, these are two beautiful candelabras that might go well, we don't need to cut away to Angela saying... Oh, we found some candelabras. We saw it. We saw it happen.
And then Angela's decided she's just going to be mad now, which is great. Yeah. She's like, Michelle needs to wake up. And Lou is having a meltdown because she's got a sadness in her life. She's not being real. She wishes she was still telling people things on the telly, but she's not. And she's old. It's like, oh, my God. Came out with a book about accepting yourself, and now you're age-shaming somebody. Come on now.
Exactly. And Julia's like, well, first they start talking about how Louise said at one point that Michelle is a gold digger, is going to bleed her husband dry. And so Julia's, of course, telling Angela that, because Julia's the biggest gossip. And then Julia's like, says this of Louise. She says, she's in her twilight years, pumping herself full of silicone. I'm like, your face looks like a sock puppet made of a baseball mitt. Okay. Don't talk about pumping your face, like Twilight Years, and pumping your body and your face of silicone and Botox.
And didn't she just take Louise to watch her get something done?
The
and
vampires,
she's like, do I look good? Yeah. And they were like, no, not really. You look like you're dying, actually.
You literally injected your own blood into your face. And you're now going to slam Louise for getting some nips and tucks?
Yeah, age shaming.
Age shaming.
Age shaming.
Dumb people.
Yeah. And you're old.
Yeah.
Like, who are you? Like, you get when a teenager does that. They're like, come on, old man. You're like, you'll get yours.
Yeah.
But some other old person, you're like, what are you, a year younger? Come on.
Yeah. Exactly. Your little giraffe bikini catwalk thing is not fooling us. We know what age you are.
Yes. Now, that said, Louise is at fault for everything they're saying. Like, they're technically right. Like, you get a couple of glasses of wine into that Louise. Who knew? She was she's bleeding him dry. If they even have any money left over. And when they don't, let's see how she reacts then, shall we?
Well, is she wrong, though? Listen, if Michelle has the right to tell Angela, well, are you a plus-size model? And she's like, no, I'm just saying, because you would not be, like, you can't be a normal-size model. You're a plus-size. That's just what you are. It's not an insult. Well, yeah. Sorry, Michelle, you're spending a lot of money. So, well, if Louise said it, she said it because she saw it.
Yeah. And she doesn't deny it either. She's not saying that they're lying. She's like, what a snitch.
Yeah.
It's not that she shanked somebody. It's that somebody told on her for shanking somebody.
Exactly. You know? So then we get this scene of Gilda meeting up with David, who's Michelle's husband, and they're trying to find a cake for Michelle's birthday party.
And did you notice that the cake was there from Gilda's fridge that was in the...
Yes, I was wondering where... I was like, wait a second, I recognize that cake. Yes. Oh, they probably went there first before they shot that scene.
Yeah, don't use a unique bonbon with nut thing with a littler bonbon on top and expect us not to notice.
Yeah. We have eyes for chocolate bombs, okay? We do.
Exactly.
We can't do that.
So does he. He's like, can I have a sample?
He wants his cake.
So he's one of those people that just eats everything. And with his mouth open, it's kind of coming out. And Gilda's like, oh, well, you know, you're a rich husband. So, okay, napkin, napkin, napkin.
So what sort of cake does Michelle like? And he's like, he's like, I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, the gum flavored, you know, the gum flavored cake or whatever.
Yeah.
Flavored, you know what I'm saying.
I don't have any notes for the scene. I just saw that they were eating desserts, and I think I, like, got hungry.
Yeah, I had a cake conspiracy.
The cake conspiracy was strong.
Yeah.
Strong conspiracy.
Like, this is where she decided that she needs to have Michelle over, or those ladies over, to sit in the chandelier room and eat cake.
It's funny because when they walked into that place, I actually thought it was the same place at first that she had her book launch. So I was already building my own conspiracy. So I think I got distracted from the larger chocolate bomb cake
conspiracy. Yeah, it's like on Law and Order when they use all the same actors in different episodes.
Dong, dong. That's Gilda doing it.
Yeah. Donna McKechnie always did it in my mind. But then sometimes she's the lawyer, too. And I'm like, wait a minute. I saw this on Matlock. All right, let's skip this scene because I'll stay in a cake store forever like that husband.
So let's go over to the radio where we're at Radio Live with Mike Peru. And Louise is there because she has a new gig where she is going to be doing overnights at this radio station, talk radio. So we can tell that, you know, she's ready for business because she's wearing her smart glasses with the thick rims today, you know?
Yeah, she's like, I'm reading. Don't you worry. I've got papers to shuffle. 2020, 60 minutes.
Oh, I used to be a correspondent for 60 Minutes, but now that Oprah's taken over, I'm here on Radio New Zealand.
When I used to drive the catering truck around at work, I would listen to talk radio. And on the weekend, I heard Heather's first KFI stand-in for somebody.
Oh, wow.
Heather Dubrow.
Yeah.
And this reminded me of that. She's like, hi. You know, I really like sunshine. Isn't it nice out there today? She was like, what do you talk about, you know?
Yeah.
And that's Louise. She had nothing to talk about.
Yeah, because she gets on there. And first of all, I love the radio announcer comes on and is like, this is the overnighter with guest host Louise Wallace. And you can tell she, in her mind, she's like, all right, do the Tylenol pose. Tylenol pose. Oh, damn it. It's radio.
headache, crushing headache. All right, now you're happy running through a field. You see how quick I can change in 20 seconds.
Black and white flashback to earlier today when the children were running around the kitchen and I just couldn't deal with life. Robbing the temples. Now life is good. Balloon ride.
Hora, is this the part where I tell you that I need you to add in the graphic of the veins going from my brain all the way down to my gut to be inflamed while I'm sad and then healing when I'm happy?
All right. Is this the part where I walk across a floor, but it's not a real floor? It's more like a bunch of lines in a grid, in a scientific grid, like I'm in space, but instead of a space, it's a scientific diagram, but I'm walking through it. Is that my part right now?
That is way more prep than she gave this job. She's like, where's my spot? They're like, it's the chair. Like, she literally at the beginning went, oh, I have to move in front of the microphone. And he was like, yes. She was sitting like in the middle of the table. She had to move over.
I'm just so used to projecting in the theater.
So I'm treating the microphone like it's the third balcony. The tickets may have been less expensive, but they were just as expensive to those audience members.
I look out at the radio dials and I see nothing but legends. I see Lady Macbeth, Clytemnestra, Blanche DuBois, and Anne. Oh, Anne, what are you doing here? Anne.
Hello!
Anne's waving. She's like, hi! Hi! Can you see me? Like, she's doing a show, okay?
Anne. She's not only is she doing a show, we then cut, because Anne does show up, we're not just joking. It cuts to an interview segment where Anne goes, tonight, Louise is doing a radio show. I'm like, really? No shit, Sherlock. We've been watching it for 5 minutes.
We know you just got here, okay? But we've been here. Yeah. And I like that Louise didn't even hide it. She's like, well, I have nothing to say, so I've called my friend Anne because she could talk the leg off a chair. So she gets Anne over, makes no and sense, Anne's like,
champagne! I love champagne. Oh, can you believe it, these youngsters?
Oh, God.
And it's like, the only thing I like more than champagne is that handsome American president, Mr. Donald Trump, who I met years ago when I was starting a snakeskin emporium.
Which is, this is apparently a true story.
What's more revolting, her starting a snakeskin emporium or finding Trump hot? Because every time we hear about Trump on these shows, all the ladies act like, I'm not talking about that. Of course I fucked him. Of course. Like with their eyes, they're like, of course I did. Yeah. She's like, snakeskin emporium. That so was then, a day.
So then a caller calls up because like they've gotten no calls. And he's like, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you're not very relatable on the air there. You're a little bit removed from culture talking about champagne and how you like President Trump. It's not very relatable at all. It's like, Angela, what did you do to your voice?
I would just like you to be real. Run through a field. Take a walk. Smile. She's like, wait a minute. But I love the angry old guy calling into the overnighter.
Yeah.
Exactly. You're very removed from the troubles of New Zealand. Champagne and bubbles. I'm sure you're both lovely, but there's real problems. And Louise is like, well, I guess you just don't get it. Click.
And Anne goes, he felt we were totally removed from the general public. I'm like, yes, he just said that. He just said that.
But there are real problems. Trump.
Like too many sheep. Too many sheep. What do we do with all these sheep in New Zealand?
Can you believe that girl taking all of her husband's money, bleeding him dry? It's like, this is not the news, Louise.
In other news, all New Zealanders are mandated to have circular doors from here on out. Louise, that's just hobbits.
I'm going to tell you three things. You decide what's real. So she doesn't even care because, like, who's listening except that angry guy? So she's like, that guy's an idiot. Oh, I like when
her
she
big
goes,
yeah.
Yeah, she goes, do you like champagne? Like, you don't get, you're mad about this conversation. Do you like champagne, sir? And he's like, I love Clicquot, but that's not the point. And Anne goes,
Clicquot, figures.
I'm a former journalist. I can ask a probing question, sir. Do you not like champagne? Do you not like champagne?
You are the weakest link. Tick, 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 tick. Bring 2020, whatever the sound is. I'm done. It's on my resume.
You are the weakest caller. Goodbye. So then we transition to a brand new scene, and this is what we were talking about at the top of the show. Transition to a new scene, and the music's like, and then like 2 seconds later, the music just goes, just fully changes to like, na 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 na. I'm like, why? Why do we have two different tracks? Like, why do we have to have specific music to watch the sun go down in Auckland and rise again, and then different music for the drone shot over trees?
You can save your templates in GarageBand, okay? I make fun of them, but I use them all the time. It's important to save your template. Don't just be dragging random things because they'll match the beat for you. Because you're totally right. It's like, dun 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 dun, bam 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 bam. What is this? It's like choosing a phone ringer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then everyone's like, well, it's Michelle. It's Michelle's birthday. She's going to be having a party. It's Michelle's birthday. I'm like, yes. You guys have been planning for this birthday for the first 25 minutes of this show. You don't have to announce it again now.
She's going to be so surprised about a birthday. I'm like, no, she's not. They're dressed like they're going to church, okay? And she's like, it's a helicopter. Oh, what a beautiful day for a helicopter. And they fly over the location. She's like, I see something. That's it, isn't it? I'm like, yes, in the middle of a lake and all those trees, there's one building. Like, what do you think? He's going to take you down to between the trees? Come on.
Yeah, they are really the masters of the obvious on this show.
And he blindfolds her. It's like, you should have done that before. The helicopter. Yes. You know, it's
Ramona Singer style.
Yeah, of course.
So, meanwhile, down on planet Earth, Gilda and Louise arrive at the party house, and then eventually Anne and Julia... And then, Anne arrives separately, and then Julia and Angela show up in a car with Leah, the French intern. And here's an example where they do change the music, but this was funny because they're in this Porsche, and so Leah, the intern, stuffed in the back, and when she has to get out of the Porsche, the producers fully change the music to this, like, patronizing, silly accordion music that they've been playing all season for her. And it's just so funny. This poor girl's trying
to get out
of the
car. It's like everything going wrong for Ugly Betty, but everyone thinks she's so cute. But at the same time, you're like, you can't get out of the back seat. Like, I know that you're dumb, but you don't know how to pull up the lever and push forward the seat and get out. Come on!
Even Angela's like, need a hand, Leah? Need a hand? No? No? Okay.
So, speaking of catering, this was a total cheapo catering party. It's like some rented house, and when Michelle walked in, she said, it smells like a schoolhouse. You know, it's like the cheapest place on the day rental on Airbnb or whatever.
Yeah. So yeah, they're all milling about. The helicopter finally lands, so they put this blindfold on and they start walking her in, and as Michelle approaches the house, Gilda's trying to quiet everyone down, and Anne just starts sneezing out of, like, I don't know why, but she's just sneezing and she won't stop, and Gilda's getting so annoyed. She's like, Anne, what's wrong with the girl?
Come on, the sneezes, Anne.
Too many sneezes, Anne.
We were waiting for the guest of honor to come in and get her surprise, and we needed to be quiet, eh? But then Anne started sneezing, and then she started sneezing again, eh?
Well, it makes sense that she has a sneezing fit in the series finale, because it's what the entire season has been leading up to. We just didn't realize. Every time she laughed and she's saying, she was actually leading up to a sneeze. Choo. Choo.
So stupid. And Louise is like, don't try and take my role.
Allergy's got you down. Don't worry. I can be a sympathetic neighbor with a helpful tip.
Use code CRAPIDSLOO 30. So Michelle comes in and she's like, my shoes are too high. Shut up. Okay. You're rich. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Yeah. And congratulations to your husband who has a hot, funny wife and also got to eat 30 desserts yesterday and like has to make no effort. Like, congrats to you both. Like, literally, congrats. I'm happy for you. Yeah.
Congrats.
So they go in and she's like, oh my God, I'm so surprised. It smells like pee in here. And it's like rando PAs in their best, you know, like, office Christmas party dresses.
Exactly. And as much as we love Gilda, I have to say she is a shitty surprise party surpriser, because Michelle didn't really have her, for some reason she couldn't get her stupid bandana off. I don't know why. So she couldn't get it off, and at a certain point Gilda's like, I don't want to wait anymore. Surprise. Surprise girl.
But Gilda didn't even have to do the hard part. There was a helicopter already. Okay, you rented like a tiny little house. Come on. Surprise. Yeah. And Michelle wasn't, you know, thrilled. But at Housewives, you have lines. Like, you don't get to yell at somebody at their own birthday, right?
Right.
No, you That's do not
on
nice.
On a Housewives show, you do. Yeah.
You have to be more passive aggressive. You can't be like, well, the meeting has come to order. I'm going to yell at you. Like, you have to pretend that you care that it's their birthday, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you do.
But we're talking about Auckland, sorry.
Exactly. So the women all go forward and they give Michelle a big hug, but Angela hangs back and Michelle just gives her this very cold wave. And then Michelle just sort of gets, she's like, I can't believe this party. There's everything here. The people, there's hors d'oeuvres, there's my sculpture in the shape of M. M, that's my first initial. Stands for Michelle. Very exciting.
There's a bus stop poster model.
You know, by the way,
is
they probably stole that
New Zealand model here.
You know, they probably stole that ice sculpture from someone named Wendell. Let's turn it upside down. No one will ever know.
It's an M. He made such an effort. The ice sculpture is an M. I'm like, a letter.
He literally stole it from a larger word, ice sculpture.
Yeah, so. It's like those Bethany letters that are in Target still, and they're like, we have 5 letters on sale. What can you guys make out of this?
Honestly, there's some party in New Zealand where a woman walking in and she's wondering why her eye sculpture says Aria. Not my name. Well, you know, one thing that I was not present at this birthday, which I think that someone should have gotten for Michelle because it was her birthday, is perhaps the most beautiful gift you could give a person. A Casper mattress.
Oh my God, Bean.
Yeah, how was that for a segue? How was that for a segue into Casper mattress land?
Well, I listen to a lot of podcasts.
Yeah.
And they talk about the Casper, you know? So when we do it, it's like, oh, it's a Casper mattress. Nope. It's special.
You know what, Ronnie? I'm not sensing a lot of authenticity from you. I think if you're going to be talking about the Casper mattress, I need you to be real.
Walk, lie down if you're tired on your Casper mattress.
Roll over, make a star pattern with your hands and your feet on your Casper mattress.
Drink some water
on your Casper mattress.
Fluff a pillow and then put your head on it on your Casper mattress.
And Ben knows. Why, Ben?
Because I own one and I'm being real because I sleep on my Casper mattress every night of the week.
Yes. And this was not a free Casper mattress. This was many aspirin commercials over the years.
I use all my royalties from an Excedrin commercial to buy my Casper mattress. And guess what? My royalties are tiny. And that's why the Casper mattress is so great, because it's affordable.
Oh, man.
They're going to be so proud of this read through. I'm touching my mattress right now. I actually bought this mattress. This was not a freebie that was sent by a sponsor. I paid money. I don't know if anyone remembers the story, but I got drunk in WeHo, and at 2 a.m. I decided I wanted a new mattress, and Casper was our new sponsor. And I said, fuck it. I'm buying a Casper mattress because they're our new sponsor. It was 2 a.m., and I bought it when I was drunk, okay? And it showed up. It showed up at my apartment like 4 days later, which I thought was also kind of crazy. And I've been sleeping well ever since. I'm being real.
He's being real. Yeah, because we talk about the stuff we like. And you did. You talked about that Casper mattress. You were like, here's how I slept last night.
I adjusted
to the pure comfort and beauty of my Casper mattress.
I still do. I really enjoy it. But here's the important stuff that they want us to talk about. Casper makes a premium mattress and sells it online for a fraction of what it would cost in a store.
Yes, they sure do. With an average of 4.8 out of 5 stars across more than 30,000 global reviews, it's quickly becoming the internet's favorite mattress.
Yeah. Their business works by continuously developing their mattress using feedback of nearly 500,000 customers. Like me.
Yep.
Like me. I'm being real.
The New York Times said Casper is changing the way people shop for mattresses because it is online, but you get it, you try it, and you have a trial period.
Yeah. So
Their business works by...
Did you like that preliminary laugh?
Their business works... their business works by continuously developing the mattress using feedback of nearly 500,000 customers and perhaps a few pussies.
Pussy! Let your pussy on your Casper mattress.
My Mr. Tinkle Winkle, on his last night on this earth, I said, come on the Casper mattress and enjoy your transition into the next land in comfort. Ah, what a great cat he was.
One of the little tiny portraits on a coffin of Guido, the black horny cat. Is Guido curled up on his Casper mattress?
I only wish Mrs. Butterscotch only knew how easy it was to buy a Casper. I ordered online, it's delivered to your door in a compact box, and free shipping and free returns.
So go buy one for $50 towards any mattress purchase. www.casper.com/crippins.
Yeah. www.casper.com/crappins. And by the way, it's only available in the US, Canada, and now the UK. So, people in New Zealand, sorry.
Soon.
Just wait.
Yeah, dream of your Casper mattress. It'll come to you. Be real.
Okay. You go, girl.
All right. Yes, we're really just like enjoying this recap. Podcasts. We're leaning into it.
We are. I'm going to lean into it.
Our last Auckland.
Oh, I thought you were going to say. I thought you were going to like finish your sentence.
No, it's recap. Our last Auckland, so we're leaning into it.
See, I thought you were going to say
enjoying
my last
it, darling. Recap.
Darling. So anyway, we're back to this birthday party, and Michelle has decided that she wants to be mad about something. So she's mad that Angela didn't come up to her and say hello, which I guess is. Yeah, it is a little ungracious. And they're also all wondering, why the hell is Leah the intern there? Which is a fair question.
She's like, you know, she seems like a nice girl, but we're not friends. I'm like, look around. Who are you friends with here?
Yeah, that's true, too. So Angela's now bitching about Louise to Anne. She's ready to fight with Louise today, and she's rearing up.
Yeah, and Anne will just go along with it, you know? Mm-hmm. She'll just give you a few ah-ah-ahs. She doesn't have to fight Louise's battle, you know? She's like, yeah, blah, blah, blah.
She's just getting drunk.
Yes, and doesn't she tell her, is this where she tells her, am I slurring?
No, but that does eventually happen, so it doesn't really matter where it happens.
She's like, no, am I slurring a bit now? No. Wang dang doodle. Now,
rang dang doodle,
and Michelle tells her, "Yes, a bit. Yes, you are. You know, maybe. You know, get it together.
Just a bit."
So Louise drifts over to Angela and Julia, and this is where the conflict begins. Angela goes, "I feel the need to actually clear the ear with you," and so Louise is like, "All right, let's get going. Let's come on." She's like, I feel like I'm getting smashed by you, Louise, all the time. Just absolutely smashed. And my book launch everywhere. I just don't know why you are incapable of sitting in a pile of dead leaves and throwing them above your head and being real.
I feel like a fingerling potato with garlic and butter on it being smashed. You've made a smash of me. So Louise has had a couple glasses.
Yeah.
So she's like, all right, then, the cards are on the table. It's like, whoa.
Here we go. Louise, yeah, probing journalist.
So she said, you said we were rude at your party. And she's like, yes, my friend said so. And she goes, well, they must have ears like the $6 million man, if they could hear that.
Ew, it was nice, a whisper. Nice Lee Majors burn.
And Angela's like, well, they do have good ears. They're from Christchurch.
Perhaps you've never heard of the elves of New Zealand. Perhaps you've never seen the Lord of the Rings. And no, those aren't your friends.
Yeah, they can tell you when it's going to rain 3 hours before. People from Christchurch can hear, okay? So Louise is like, whatever. You know, because it's so obviously just Julia.
Yeah,
who did it?
Totally Julia. And Julia's trying to like, and Julia's poking the situation too. And then finally Louise turns to Julia and goes, Julia, honest to God, just because you get yourself in the shit every 5 minutes, why do you have to smear it on me?
She's always talking like she's been to prison.
Well, half the thing she says doesn't really make sense. She's like, I mean, she was like a cantaloupe on a roller coaster. She's essentially the quad of New Zealand.
Yeah, she's like a super well-spoken quad.
That's rolling off faster than a watch on a walrus tusk.
But I like that she knows how to just slam Julia. She's like, honest to God. I mean, it's because you're so stupid. You've got no brains. You're like kids at primary school. Hiss, 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 hiss. And Julia's like, well, I could tell she was found out because she started to get mad. Thanks.
Yeah. Great
Thanks
observation.
Thanks for the update. Yeah. So she's still trying to be like, just say it to her face if you want to be a bitch, you know? And Louise is like, I should be able to be a bitch behind people's backs all the time because, yeah. Like, duh.
I'm old. So, I've earned it.
Yes. So Louise, Julia, and Michelle. So now Michelle's in it.
Yeah.
And Louise is like, she's a snitch. Snitches get stitches. Poop on the wall.
And Michelle's like, oh, she's a snitch. And meanwhile, she also mentions, Louise is like, I told her, if your friends could hear me, they must have the ears of the $6 million man. And they're all like, oh, $6 million man. What a great reference.
Gilda goes, you remember that program?
That was my favorite program growing up. $6 Million Man.
loved it.
I promised that I would marry the $6 Million Man sometime, but I did not realize it was merely just a name and it was not about his net value.
It had $6 million, but it was years, eh? So Michelle's getting worked up now, right? So mm-hmm. She's like, I see them squabbling. She's just going on now. And then they cut to Angela, like, doing Lydia arms in the air. Like, what is Angela even talking about? She's, like, waving her arms in the air.
And then there was a fireball. Like, what?
So this makes Michelle even more mad. Because she's like, look, the arm's in the air. So then Gilda comes up. And she's like, oh, how you girls? Can I tell you something? I think Michelle is upset. You haven't even said hello.
How could you come to this party? I think she's very upset that you didn't say anything, you girls. And so then, I don't even remember. There was such a flurry of activity, because this is where Gilda got very, she was like drunk and angry. And she was just like, you know what? It's last day of shooting. I'm just going to say everything on my mind right now.
Yeah, and she'll stay calm. Like, she gives you the chance. She's like, you could just say you're wrong and go say sorry. And I'll be nice to you, or I'll rip you down publicly. Which would you prefer?
Yeah, because this was very much like an elaborately staged play. Because all my notes are like, Gilda walks over, then Angela walks away, and then Julia walks away, and then Angela walks away. I was like, wait, it's like hard for me to remember the blocking in my head, even though I saw this like 2 hours ago.
Because it was one room.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's too much. I usually, between scenes, I put lines, and this one is just a wall of text. So let's just go to the part where they're like, let's go into the other room. Fight, basically.
Well, yes, well, because Gilda, at this point, somewhere in here, Gilda says that Louise was being real. And so then Gilda says this thing, and if you think you're of stature of being all about humility and morality and being the most amazing being that ever existed.
And Julia goes, what's she talking about? I'm very moral.
I'm completely moral. When I say the N-word, I mean it in the best possible way.
Oh, my God. So, yeah. So she's like, you're stupid and you have no brains, eh? Because you're a dumb whore. You know, like when she gets mean, she gets really mean. So Julia's like, what did I even do? So she runs out crying and Angela stomps off after her in her glitter dress at like 1 p.m.
Well, I did love, by the way, sorry to like dial it back a little bit. But I love when Gilda and Julia are talking about all this stuff, and Julia declares that Louise has had bad behavior that needs to be like called out, and Gilda goes, bad behavior? Who the fuck made you the judge? Julia's like, why are you so edgy against me? Because you're a fucking idiot. I'm an idiot? Absolutely.
How many reasons do you need, huh? You're stupid. Go away.
You probably still haven't figured out how many licks it takes to get the middle of a Tootsie Roll pop thing. I don't know. I don't need those.
You would never even think about studying that science, huh?
So Julia's like, I don't know what to do, so I'm going to fake cry and run off. Because that was like the worst fake cry we've seen. And we saw some bad fake crying like earlier this week from Tamara, okay?
Yeah, and how are you going to start acting like a victim? I love when she says, I don't even understand what I did.
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
And then Angela runs off and Angela's like, and you can go off with her.
Yeah, you too.
Typical. Birds of a feather flock together.
So then Angela's like, Gilda's climbed into Julia in the most disgusting way. So they're out there like victimizing each other.
Yeah.
And Louise is gossiping with Michelle inside, you know, and she's like, well, this awful girl, blah, 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 tells her the thing. And then she's like, well, who cares? I just want to hang with my mates.
Yeah.
And it's like all these strangers around like, okay, lady. Go rant over by the husband eating the fucking donut over at the catering table, okay?
Yeah. So meanwhile, outside, Angela has decided that she wants to go. She wants to go after Louise for talking shit about her book launch. So she's just going to turn Julia against Louise. So she's like, I have a feeling that it's Louise who's been winding up Gilder. So I think it's time for us to say something to Louise. Do you want to do it? Let's go do it. So they charge inside. Do you hear the ladies outside my window, by the way? Can you hear them?
I heard a squeak. What was that?
It's the ladies. There's these drunk ladies out there. Anyway.
Yeah, so, you go, girls. You go, some girls. You go Tuesday drunken.
Drinks, girls. So, anyway. So now this is where Anne's like, I'm really drunk. And so they all go into the other room. At long last, we're now in the other room for the next fight. Because
yeah,
this
and
is
it's
also
very like Game of Thrones. Yeah, it's like now we present the gifts to the queen. I was like, who brings gifts?
Yeah, yeah, right? Exactly. I think that like you know when you're at a certain age, you sort of don't bring gifts to birthday parties. I mean, you can, but it's like when you're a kid, you always bring gifts. But I think when you're an adult and you throw a party, maybe people might, if it's at your house, they'll bring wine or something, or maybe they'll give you a card. Some people give gifts, but it's not customary, because I know I sure as hell have not gotten a gift in a long time. People,
oh hell no, me and my friends don't do that. Like the gift is like you showed up and you bought
exactly
them a drink.
I think when you get older, people understand that everyone's time is precious, because your time becomes more precious when you're older. So the fact that someone takes time to come and like celebrate with you and drink with you and have fun with you, that's the gift.
But I love that didn't Angela start out with her, she's like, well, gifts we're going to bestow on you to candelabras that are from the 17th century or however she described it. And Michelle's like, thanks. And then she tells us, what are these antiques? Yes, they're antiques. They're from the 17th century. She's mad.
It is rolled off the assembly line.
Yeah, she's like, these are used.
Yeah, Louise is like, it was one of the most hideous things I've ever seen in my life. And believe me, I've been in central casting.
And Anne's like, those things are ugly. And I was in the 17th century. They were ugly there, too.
So they're like, by the way, what's Leah doing here again? And Angela's like, well, she's going back to France in a few days. And I know how much she loves all of you and you all love her. So I thought, I'd give you guys one last chance to see her poor, scared little face who can't drive. They're like, okay.
Also, it's the last chance for us all to hear this music. Leah, walk to that side of the room. And it's like, da-dum, 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 da-dum.
Yeah. That was my attempt at an accordion. So then Anne presents her gift, which is great because she's one of those women that when she gets drunk, her hair gets messy. You know what it is? Like, I don't know what it is. There are some women, the moment that buzz comes on, they don't even have to touch their hair, and it just becomes a shell. And she's like,
this is bottled. It's very, very special bottle.
It came from the Count of Monte Cristo. Like, what? Wait a minute. What? She's like, this came from a count.
Flibbity, Mr. Flibbity Bottom would always nuzzle his little head on the bottle, before he would walk out and catch his mouse of the night.
Michelle's like, gross.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And it's like, thanks for grabbing something on the way out your door, Anne. The lady who loves Shay. It's like me. Here's a cigarette. I got you this.
I can't believe she didn't give her one of the furs. I mean, Michelle was fishing for it all season long.
Anne ain't giving that shit up. She no. still remembers the price when she originally got it, you know?
Yeah. So Louise is like, I'm just trying to apply it in the bank room because I didn't actually get a gift. I'm like, see, that would be me.
Yeah, but you guys would know if you're supposed to bring a gift. Louise would know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's like, oh, I didn't do it. So she's like, darling, I would like to take you to lunch anywhere you'd like for your birthday. That and sounds like it's the best to me.
Yeah. And then Angela's like, I'm sick of it getting away with this behavior. I'm like, yeah, that very gracious behavior.
Yeah, gracious. You traded an Insta post for a fucking candelabra. And now you're mad at a lady who's going to actually buy lunch. Shut up, Angela.
Yeah, exactly. So now Angela's trying to confront Louise again. And so Louise is just like, she puts on her best Excedrin / 60 Minutes voice. She goes, I cannot be bothered continuing this conversation. And that came from my diaphragm, like Diana Rigg.
It's time in the show where we turn it over to Andy Rooney. Andy.
Now, Angela, before you have any other problems with me, I'd like to pass around this basket for Broadway cares. Anyone can donate?
Angela has prepared for this fight, and still this is her line. Stupid Angela. She goes, you know what, Louise? If you hold up a mirror, what do you see? You see yourself.
Yeah, like, that's usually wow. how those work. Yeah. I wrote down that also. Like, that's really profound.
When you, wow, when you look in the mirror, Angela.
You
thanks.
See yourself.
Yeah, so Louise is like, fuck it, I'm drunk, you know? Oh, I've seen some deluded people in my life, but you Leslie are the Stahl. Most.
Oh, I had to share a makeup room with Leslie Stahl. Sorry, you were saying.
Diane Sawyer. She's just as exhausted in real life as she is on the television. It's like, if you can't handle it, go home. I have a migraine.
I'm in Anderson Cooper on 60 Minutes. This is what passes journalism these days. I was a star on that show. I was brilliant.
So she says, oh, so this is how you talk about your friends. If you saw yourself in the mirror, you'd see yourself talking about all your friends. And she's like, yeah, not my friend. Like, you go, belligerent Louise.
Yeah, she's like, well, you pretended like it. Did you pretend that you were your friends? She's like, yes, I did. It's called acting. Stella Adler.
Acting! It's like, what do you mean? That entire 1 hour that I was at your home on a couch? Showing you my book covers, you were faking a relationship. It's like, okay, you didn't go to college together, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So Julia's like, I have something to say. So Michelle, Louise says that you're the biggest gold digger of all, and once you bleed David dry, you'll be off. And then Michelle turns to Louise. Michelle, by the way, is a very bad actress. You can see that, like, there was. She was prepared for this, or etc. She's a very bad actress, and she turns to Louise and is like, what? Did you say that? Did you say that? Louise is like, oh, I did say that. Yes, guilty as charged.
Yeah, not going to be good, but I like that Michelle got a little defensive. It's like, this is the first time someone's said that, or you've heard that, because she's like, me bleeding him dry? That makes my husband sound like an idiot. Like, he wouldn't know. I'm like, oh, good.
This is a man who didn't even know what sort of cake you'd like after 17 years, okay? So let's, like, hold off on defending his smarts.
He knew I didn't eat cake. If that's not love, I don't know what is.
And Louise is like, listen, Michelle, I say it was very lighthearted. It was like a monologue from Midsummer's Night Dream that I performed in a basement somewhere.
It was one monologue and many in a glittering night of performance.
It was like Woody Allen.
So Michelle's pissed. So she's like, oh, I'm mad. So she leaves. And then everyone's gathered around the doorway watching. Yeah. We see, you know, they're watching the fight. So he's like, why'd you leave? Go back in there. Don't let that get you down. Come on, honey. Get back in there. Make it work.
He's like, you're at work now, honey.
Yeah.
They're like rooting her on.
Yeah. So Michelle's like, ah, fine. So Michelle goes back in and Louise is like, calm down. It was like Scully's bosses. He has his cock in the teal. I was like, what is that? And what did any of that just mean?
Yeah. Doesn't that mean that he would have his cock at work? Like he would be fucking the secretary or something?
I don't even know. I don't even know.
Well, I know what a cock is and I know what a till is. Otherwise, you lost me, Lou.
So then Anne is like the drunken voice of reason. She's like,
Michelle, I think that all that she meant was that you like to spend. And who here doesn't like to spend?
And Michelle's like, that is true.
Yeah, well, when you put it that way, it's not so bad. No, yeah. Louise is like, oh, so you're going to get mad at the phrasing of the play?
Yeah.
So don't get mad at the play or the performer. Get mad at yourself for being bothered because you were moved by my performance. So now they kind of don't really know what to do because yeah. Louise has just admitted it. She's like, I did say it. Like, what do you want me to say? Called you a hoe. Shocker. Still like you.
And Angela's getting annoyed because Michelle's like, oh, okay. Yeah, okay. I see that. Never mind. So Angela's just annoyed.
Well, she's the worst. So you're not going to get them to jump on your side because that's gross, you know? Right. So it's like, okay, Louise was really mean. She's still better than you. Yeah. Anything else?
So then, so now Gilda goes back to doing what she does best, which is calling Angela stupid.
Yes. You're stupid. And now she's slurring.
Yeah. Oh, look at you, Gilda. You're out of control. And then Anne goes,
she's just being real. Zing.
What are you, stupid? And she goes, have another drink. Have another drink. And she's like, you have another drink, you Chardonnay whore.
And Angela's like, Gilda, you're very opinionated. And Gilda's like, guess what? Newsflash. Every person's opinionated. It's called being a person with a brain in their head.
If you're not opinionated, then I'm sorry to tell you. You are a vegetable. You're a vegetable. And this is totally true, but she's so mean in the way she's saying it. And Angela's like, opinions? How dare she? So they go outside and like try and cry some more. It's like, girls, you can keep going outside as many times as you want.
Yeah. And Angela's like, she's never going to like someone like me. I'm everything she's not. I'm like, so you're a fake, you're a fraud, you're not that bright, and people don't like you. Correct.
Yeah, as we called in the first episode, you're the reason that self-help books are written, okay?
And Angela's trying to gaslight Gilda, but it's not working. She's like, she keeps saying, you're out of control, Gilda. You're out of control, Gilda. And Gilda's like, yeah, because I'm standing in front of a stupid beast like you.
I'm nasty to snakes and I'm nice to dogs. What did she say? It was like some weird saying.
Yeah, she said later on, she said that. She said, I'm not nice to snakes, but I cuddle with dogs. So you choose what you want to be. She said that later on. But so Louise
either or, eh?
So and then Louise is going after Julia and Angela. She's like, Louise is like, the only person that we've had any trouble with the group dynamic is you. And then she's to Angela, she's like, you have set out to destroy this party. But guess what? I'm on Claritin and I can't be destroyed. Not by you and not by allergies.
Your sad clad has turned into a happy clad that follows me wherever I go.
My insomnia's been cured. I no longer have that little insomnia cat walking around on my bed. Now I have perfect sleep.
So the last dig that Angela has is, well, at least I didn't have a scientist write my book.
That's supposed to be bad.
Yeah.
Guilt is wow. Like, who is this girl? Like, God forbid someone from the scientific community writes something to give Gilda's book some more veracity.
Did you not see me going through with a pen and post-its?
So in the other room, Angela is now fuming and she's saying how, you know, she has to wear these clothing with her boobs all out because it's what makes her feel good. I'm like, bitch, you're the one who did a topless photo shoot. And on top of that, you probably have something in your book that says wear an outfit that you like.
Yeah, exactly. Show your boobs. Who cares? Why wouldn't you want to look good?
Yeah,
exactly. So she really tried. I have to give her the credit. And I also have to give credit to Gilda for just unleashing properly at least once, where she's just, you know,
Yeah.
Really mean. I loved it.
Yeah. I appreciate it. And then at this point, then the show starts doing the postscripts. And I've noticed that for these non-US ones, they can be pretty vicious. So with Angela, it goes, Angela continues to work hard at growing her brand. She hopes one day it will be plus-sized. Leah has her reservations.
Okay.
Yeah. It's Michelle. After the worst birthday ever, Michelle has decided to spend more time with her real best friend, Marley. Okay.
She's just ignoring Marley. This cannot be Michelle's worst birthday ever, okay?
Yeah, no.
At least she got to come to this one in a helicopter. Yeah. I mean, we could imagine some of her worst birthdays. Yeah. This is not one of them.
And this is where Guilty goes, I'm nasty to snakes. I'm really cuddly to dogs. What do you want to be? So then Julia, that says, the update on Julia is, Julia continues to wear the pants in her relationship while Michael still wears the ring. I'm like, what?
The cock ring.
Oh, I think that's what they mean. I was like, yeah. I don't get it. Louise continues to talk her way out of anything, including reading Angela's book. Okay.
Louise doesn't talk her way out of anything. She says, yes, I did it. Do you want to fight about it?
Yes, exactly. And then it cuts to Angela going, she was as pissed as a parrot.
What does that mean?
Are parrots angry in New Zealand?
I feel like parrots are formed to be one common mood. Like their mouth doesn't move. Like their eyes don't narrow, you know?
I think parrots are there to piss people off, not to be pissed.
Eh?
Yeah, there's a parrot. That's a pissed off parrot, eh?
Was she the last one of those cards?
No, then it goes Anne. Anne still insists on manners and decorum in all situations, but refuses to give up the word pussy. And then the last one, and this is how you can really tell that the producers like Gilda, because they say, Gilda, her social media following continues to grow. What does she know about her followers? Not a fucking thing.
And who gives a shit, eh?
Who gives a shit about what I'm doing now? And then the camera sort of like pulls back. The drone flies away from this estate, and you see like this sunset-y thing. And then you just hear Anne's laugh, but it's like a ghostly laugh with like an echo. It's like, ah, 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 ah.
Yeah, it was like a ghost movie. That was so weird. Why are you making it so scary? And then it's like, champagne.
Cool.
Oh, pussy. Wang, dang.
So that was it. Oh, Auckland.
Oh, Auckland. It was fun knowing you. It was, you know, it started off with a bang. It was really, really good season. Had a little bit of a lull there in the third act, but ended on a real high note.
But even the lulls, what a joy. We spent an hour 15 on this finale episode. That means we love you.
God, we're crazy. Well, guess what? We're still not done because we have some business to tend to that we talked about at the top of the show.
How lucky are you to have me teach you about me?
Clear the phlegm.
What?
So,
clear the phlegm.
This is a very special edition. I love this segment. Yes.
Yes.
For those of you who don't know what the heck we were talking about, Caroline Fleming is one of the stars of the now-canceled Bravo show Ladies of London, and we are sort of obsessed with her and her Instagram. Clear the Phlegm is a segment where we look at her Instagram and we read her entries, but instead of looking at her Instagram this time, we are going to look at a recipe from her upcoming cookbook, which you could win, we mentioned before. And this recipe was posted on the Bravo website. It's for stuffed pumpkin. Well, never mind. We can do it in Caroline Fleming voice.
Yeah. Right. Stuffed pumpkin pie recipe will make you forget all about those basic pies and lattes.
Wait,
is that what you're looking at?
No, I'm looking at the recipe, at the actual recipe part.
Oh, I wanted to talk about her picture.
Oh, okay. Okay, let's talk about the picture first. So there's a picture so basically on this entry, there's a picture of Caroline Fleming, and then there's like an article, and then below that is the recipe. That was the recipe that I was going to talk about. So let's talk about the photo first.
Well, I just wanted to talk about her outfit because she's like,
to.
Yeah, yeah. Because she's like, it is holiday meal. Red dress, slit down middle, but nothing too suggestive. Clown collar, but made of roses. I'm a silly lover.
Two red candles aflame while I plait these potatoes, also known as geflurgens, near the duck.
Both hashtag red, hashtag candles, hashtag tilting. Tiny bit to the side over real dried plant work.
Hashtag concentration. Hashtag pursed lips. Hashtag where did I put the blueberries and the strawberries and the cranberries?
Hashtag antibiotic hand wash to left of candles.
Hashtag pitcher soon to be filled with one of Earth's finest pleasures, water.
I get that recipes come out for holidays in the future, but this is like when Target puts Christmas out in September.
Well, you know? To be fair, I think this is Bravo's doing. I think Bravo's like, here's a picture of her cooking. We're going to use this.
Yeah. I'm not hating on her for it. It's just weird seeing all this red and Christmassy stuff. I'm like, you're wasting it. You're wasting it.
So now if you scroll down a little bit, we come to a recipe for stuffed pumpkin with nuts and Danish cheese, also known as field-bagged griskel mit Ost.
Also known as, I will make them go get me some next door, even though the cheesery has been closed for 30 years.
Cheesery.
Isn't it the most delicious flavor? The most amazing thing happens every time I come here. They always find Comté cheese for me, for my stuffed pumpkin. Isn't it the most amazing thing?
In the good old days, it wasn't a question of, can we eat this pumpkin? Or is it just for carving for Halloween? Oh my God, we're going to get an answer to this question?
Yeah.
I remember the good old days. We were like, you eat pumpkins? People eat those?
Yeah.
They were all farmed to eat. I tend to always use the quote-unquote pie pumpkins, which can also be used for Halloween if it's that time of year.
Pumpkin is one of my favorite vegetables. It is not.
Even in its most simple form, drizzled with olive oil and coarse sea salt and baked in the oven for an hour, utterly, utterly delicious.
Hashtag double utterly. Who says their favorite vegetable is pumpkin?
No, I'm not going to push back on that. I think a pumpkin is quite lovely. I'm going to accept it. I'm accepting it.
Hey, honey, for dinner, bell peppers, squash, pumpkin.
Pumpkin.
Utterly, utterly delicious pumpkin.
This dish is a really satisfying winter warmer, perfect for a girly dinner or as a very fulfilling side dish to my pulled pork or roast chicken.
Serves 6.
One must have one Natura Delica pumpkin.
See, already I'm like, what?
Natura Delica pumpkin.
How do I do that? What is that?
I think it's just a pumpkin.
But it's only special pumpkins. If you get what she tells you. You can't be one of those people online who are like, well, I substituted the Argentinian, you know, slaw or whatever for onions, and then they complain about the recipe. Like, if we're gonna do this right, I need a Natura Delica pumpkin.
Actually, I think a Natura, you know what's interesting is I have now done an image search for Natura Delica pumpkin, and it looks like what shows up is not pumpkin, but it looks like delicata squash.
Yeah, the picture looks like a little squash, right?
Yeah, I mean, the picture on the picture that goes with it looks like an actual cooking pumpkin, like one of those sugar pumpkins, whatever they call them. But if you do an image search for Natura Delica pumpkin, it looks like actually a kabocha squash or a delicata squash.
Well, I made you Google. In the end, it was a simple ingredient, but delica all the same. But the rest of it's easy. 8 teaspoons olive oil.
A pinch plus 1 teaspoon pink Himalayan sea salt or sea salt.
So there's pine nuts. Yeah. She loves her pine nuts, her pink salt.
Hemp seeds. There's hemp seeds.
You know, she's got to get her good skin stuff in there. She's a very healthy cook, this one.
Yeah, this actually looks like a delicious recipe, I have
to
say.
It really does.
It's like,
and then she gives you the option. She's like, grated, aged, Havarti, or cheddar, whatever.
Cheddar, if you are being common.
I speak to all levels of the pyramid.
If you are going to be like Sophie Stanbury, you get Havarti. If you're going to be like Juliet, cheddar cheese.
The Fritos leftover from Party America.
Whatever cheese you choose, be sure there are no creases in the cheese. Thank you.
Or holes.
So she basically scoops out the flesh of the pumpkin and then bakes the pumpkin, and gets rid of the seeds, bakes the pumpkin innards, and then sautés onion and all these seeds. And she makes like there's a mixture and then adds everything, this nut filling and the pumpkin stuff and all this cheese inside the pumpkin, and then bakes the whole thing. So it's this big, nutty, cheesy-filled pumpkin, and it looks amazing.
So good.
I'm excited.
This is delicious on its own, or with my kale and quinoa salad on the side. I like all the links to different adventures we could be taking through this cookbook.
I'm excited. I bought a copy. I bought a copy, and then I reached out, and we are now going to be giving away a copy too, courtesy of the publisher
of Fleming.
It's Quattro Plus.
That will be coming up.
Yes. So everyone,
clear the phlegm.
What? At 500 degrees, oven preheated.
My phlegm is boiling. You guys, thanks so much for listening. Tomorrow we are back with Below Deck. A different day than usual. We'll be doing a Wednesday Below Deck. And while we go off to Chicago.
So excited. You guys, we love you. Auckland, great season. Thanks for all the laughs.
Yeah, thank you.
And we'll talk to you tomorrow, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.